All right. Praise the Lord. And Miss Brother Randy up there, we had Miss Nanette's daughters here this weekend, which is a blessing. And Nanette used all these hats where Brother Ron Baltz had some involvement today, and we miss him. And Miss Diane was involved in all this, and of course her husband went home to heaven just recently. And Brother Robert Brooks, we miss these folks, and we appreciate their involvement in the church over the years. And all of our widows and widowers, we imagine the need in your heart and life when you lose that loved one that you've been with. My wife is here today. I think she's probably in the gymnasium with the food and getting things ready for the dinner. We hope you'll all stay for the dinner. And we look forward to some fellowship afterwards. I want to thank everybody who participated in the ladies' meeting yesterday. Janine did a great job, and she enlisted a lot of ladies to help and be involved. And they had about 25 or more here yesterday, and with a lot of folks being gone with the holidays and the vacations and all those things, that was a really good attendance for summer. So thank you for everybody being involved, and it's great to have that opportunity. My wife didn't get to come because we were gone to her dad yesterday in Jefferson, North Carolina. And everybody wants to go to the mountains because it's cooler in the mountains. It was just as hot in Jefferson as it was down here, you know. And if you got in the shade and the wind was blowing, it was okay. But otherwise, it was the temperature was just a few degrees cooler than it was down here. Well, thank you for being here today. David left me, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. This is my Father's world was the last thing I think I'm going to preach, okay? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24. I want to read a passage to you, thinking about one of the greatest fathers' influence that can be imagined. He influenced his own family, and he influenced a nation for the rest of his life, and for all of the elders of that nation that outlived him. The people of God continued to fulfill their commitment to the Lord because of his influence. Joshua 24 and verse number 14 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed." He goes on describing how God brought Israel up from Egypt. And Joshua said, "You can't serve the Lord. He's holy. He's a jealous God. He won't forgive your transgressions and your sins if you turn away from Him and worship idols." And the people said, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that you've chosen this day, chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore put away," he said, "the strange gods among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord your God." And they made an ordinance and a writing, and they established it as a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And he wrote the words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny the Lord." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word today, I ask for your help We thank you for the fathers being recognized today. We ask, Lord, that you'll bless them and encourage them and help them all, and me especially, Lord, to be men who are men of influence because we walk with God and obey his word. Help us to be leaders. Help us to be trailblazers who can lead our family in the way of safety and protection and blessing. And Lord, we're dependent on you. You are, as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, our Father which art in heaven. So, Father, receive praise, honor, and glory today, and bless all the dads, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I read about a dad who got a wallet for Father's Day from his children. And his children said, "We gave you a gift that the whole family could get something out of." You know, men are happier people than other people, especially dads. Married men are happier men. We're happier than women. We get married, we get to keep our last name. We get married, we don't have to plan a wedding. You get married, your wife spends thousands of dollars on a dress, and you can rent a tuxedo for $100. Men are happy. You can get by with one pair of shoes, one pair of dress shoes, one pair of tennis shoes, and one pair of boots for half your life. My wife has 30 pairs of sandals that all look alike. White ones and brown ones and black ones, and they're all the same, you know. Men are happier because men can wear the same color clothes all the time. A man can wear shorts no matter how bad his legs look. A man can do his nails with a pocket knife. A man gets to choose whether he wants to have a mustache or not. A man can do all his Christmas shopping in one night and have time left over to go out to eat. A man can get by with the same hairstyle all his life, and when he loses his hair, it's because of maturity. A man gets credit for the slightest act of thoughtfulness. A man can pack a suitcase for a week and only have one suitcase. A man never has to go find another place to go to the restroom because it's too icky. And usually doesn't have to wait in line. A man can wear a t-shirt or no shirt. And a man can buy 3 pairs of underwear for $8.95. A man is happy because the garage belongs to him. He only has to shave his face. No wonder men are happier people, and dads can be the happiest of all. Now, dads are a completing of a parental unit. Mom and dad are both vital in the upbringing of children. Dads are different than mothers because they provide a security even to an infant with their strength and their warmth and the way they hold children. Psychologists from Yale University did a study and said it makes happier children in their development because of a dad. Dads play differently than moms. They throw kids in the air. They throw kids in the pool. I can remember going to swimming pools and throwing my kids around, and other people's kids would line up and say, "Do me, do me, do me." Dads bounce kids on their knee, and moms love on kids. Dads roughhouse with the kids. You know what? Both are important and help balance out a child in their understanding of a parental love. Dads push the limits. They teach their boys how to ride a bike, jump a ditch, dive in a swimming pool, push the boundaries. Moms usually love on the kids more and seek their safety and worry about them getting hurt. And so, again, the balance of both is needed. Dads communicate different. Dads don't normally baby talk. And we want kids to learn to speak like an adult. So we're constantly helping correct them to pronounce words properly and say the right things. Men are more direct and use less words than ladies do. Dads discipline differently. They stress justice, firmness, and good sportsmanship, duty, and responsibility. Moms express sympathy more and concern for their kids to feel that they did their best rather than to get hurt. Dads prepare kids for their own adulthood. They teach them to make good decisions, handle problems, and learn a work ethic so that when the time comes, they're ready to go out on their own and get a job and earn a living and become a dad or a mom in a family and raise their own children. Dads balance daughters to not be boy crazy. Boys learn to act as a gentleman, not be bullies. Kids without a dad have a harder time in the marriage relationship. Dads teach respect for women. Dads help kids choose careers and plan for their future lives. Moms and dads together balance a child's life. When there is no father in the picture of a family, many of those children growing up drop out of high school before graduating. They are much greater possibility of experiencing poverty when they don't have a dad in the home. And there's a greater risk of crime, as much as 50%, some studies show, where children grow up without a dad. Abuse is more likely with a child who grows up in relationships where he doesn't have his own dad. When there is no dad, it's likely that sexual problems and sexual health can suffer as a result. Let me show you something about one of the great dads of the Bible. I don't think we often think about Joshua as being a great dad. We think about him being a great warrior. We think about him being a great leader. We think about him being a great spiritual man who took over the nation of Israel leadership when Moses was dead. Joshua became the leader of Israel, and he led Israel into Canaan. He divided for them an inheritance of all the 12 tribes, divided the land as God had planned when he told Abraham, "I'm giving you this land, and it will be for you, it will be for Isaac, it will be for Jacob, and for his sons." And that 12 tribes of people divided the land as an inheritance. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 29, the Bible tells us Joshua died. Joshua lived to be 110 years old. In verse number 31, the Bible says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." They served the Lord. They followed God because of the leadership of Joshua and those elders of Israel that outlived him because of knowing what God had done with their nation and knowing the dedication that Joshua had where he called them to make a choice. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people's choice was, "We will serve the Lord." Joshua and his people had known what God had done, the miracles, the providing for them in the wilderness, the conquering of other nations, the defending of their rights. And this man of influence, not only upon a family, but upon a nation, is an amazing thing that a nation would continue to serve even after his death because of what he had told them, because of the witness that he set up, because of the balance that he brought in the leadership of the nation. He called the people to make a choice this day whom you will serve. Now, if you look over at the book of Ruth, which is just past Judges, we find a father who made some bad choices, who influenced wrongly in his family, and the result of what took place. The Bible says in chapter 1 of Ruth, "It came to pass in the days when judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. And he tells about their names and gives us the story of Ruth, that wonderful story in the Bible. Now, Elimelech led his family away from the land of Israel, away from the place where Joshua had led them, away from the place where God promised to bless them and provide for them and meet their needs. And he led away from that to a country called Moab, which was a cursed country by God. Moab had the king attack Israel in their journey and in their battle. He made decisions to go away from where the tabernacle was, the place of worship of God, where the altar was to make sacrifices to God, where the priests were to teach his children the things of God, where the daughters of Israel were, where they should have chosen wives. They went to a cursed country away from the things of God and chose women of that land. Now, it is said in the Bible that Moabite women were beautiful women. But Moabites were cursed because they were those children of the daughters of Lot. When God destroyed Sodom, Lot left with his daughters, and his daughters got him drunk and had incestual relations with him. And the children they bore were the heads of the tribes of the Ammonites and of the Moabites. And the Moabites were cursed not to be able to enter the tabernacle of God to the 10th generation. So this is where Elimelech went to find food and to sojourn, to be able to be a sharecropper or something of that nature so that he could make a living for his family, because things got tough at home because there was a famine. Now, the result of his decision in going away from God and away from the things of God and away from his own people, he went down there among the Moabites and he died. Now, his wife's stuck down there without him. She's left and she's got two sons. And what do the two sons do? They get married to women they've met down there among the Moabites. So the dad made bad decisions that resulted in his family's hardship. And his sons made bad decisions in marrying these women of the land, because the Bible says not only did Elimelech die, but the two sons died also. Now the women are left all alone. The result of their decision and the leadership leading astray. Unlike Abraham of old, who sojourned in this land, God said to him when his son Isaac was to have a wife, to go back to his own people and find a wife. So he sent his servant, and he made his servant swear unto him that he would not take a wife from among the tribes of the people where he lived, but he would go back to the people of his inheritance, and he would choose out a wife there, and God would work in it and send a wife. And that's where he found Rebekah, and she came and married Isaac, and she was of his people, instead of marrying in the land. Now, instead of doing that, they married the Moabite women right there where they were. And the result was Elimelech died, and Mahlon died, and Chilion died. And what a tragic end to a family story, going to get financial help. They went away from God, away from the tabernacle, away from the priests, away from the Word of God, and they went down there on their own, and it resulted in disaster. I said all that because Joshua called for a choice and a decision from the nation of Israel. And this family made some poor choices, and all of us are learning that our choices and decisions have long-range application. You lose the protection of God and the blessings of God, and you go chasing after prosperity from somewhere else, and it can end up being a nightmare for those you leave behind. The good news to this story is God can take the messes we make and bring good out of the bad that happens in our lives. Ruth became a great treasure as she stayed with Naomi. And she said, where you go, I will go. And where you live, I will live. And your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. She made right choices and right decisions that resulted in her marrying Boaz and becoming a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. When you read Matthew's gospel and you read the ancestry of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ruth, who was a Gentile, is found in the lineage of Christ, the Jew, the King of the Jews, and because she married into that family. Men, you are Christian men, saved men. God is at work in you. God wants you to make the right choices and the right decisions that will affect your family long after you're gone. Setting a path, setting a standard, setting a role model, setting a teaching for your children that they will follow and make right choices and right decisions. It may not be what's the most profitable financially. It may not be what's an easy road. Sometimes it's the hard way. It may not be what other people are doing, other relatives or other people in your neighborhood or something of that nature. What God has for you to do in being obedient to Him may require that you break ranks from others. Israel constantly got into trouble because they wanted to be like the other nations around them. Men, let's lead our families to obey God and walk with the Lord and abstain from all appearance of evil. See the Lord's guidance in the choices and the decisions that we make will have far-reaching effects upon our family. Psalm said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's important that we get good counsel and follow God's word. Now back in Joshua 24, we see the people's reply to Joshua's statement asking them to make a decision today, make a choice today. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods, was their reply. He, the Lord our God, brought our fathers from Egypt and the house of bondage by great signs and wonders, then preserved us when we passed through all the nations, and God drove out the wicked idol worshipers. Joshua said, if you fail to serve God and you turn to idols, He will destroy you. The people said, but we will serve the Lord. The people said, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. And He made the writing, and He set up a stone. And this was a memorial for them as they passed by these memorials, the 12 stones they'd taken out of the river, 6 they set up there, and 6 they set up when they encamped. And now this monument that set up when the children grew up and they would go by and see these things, and their fathers could say, this is where we made a vow to God to serve the Lord. And this is a reminder to us that we have chosen to do the right thing. The church should be a memorial like that that's set up for us to obey God and be the place to remind us that this is where we make our vows to God to serve Him and please Him. A place where we learn the Word of God, a place where we learn to be reminded of the truths and the covenant and dedication that we have made. Now, Joshua motivated an entire nation to make a choice to serve the Lord. They followed not only throughout his entire days, 110 years, but then they continued to follow after his death from the leaders who had seen all these things happen, who made the same choices Joshua made, and they continued to lead after Joshua's death. For some time they continued to walk with God. But when you go into the book of Judges, you find about 100 years transpires. And they began to act like a roller coaster in their spiritual life. They began to turn to the other nations and worship false gods. And God turned them over to captivities in the time of Judges. And then they would cry out to God, and God would raise up a judge, and the judge would deliver them, and they'd serve the Lord. And then a little while would go by, and they would stray again. Judges 21:25 says, "There was no king in Israel in that day, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." I say to you, this is where America is today. If God does not rule us, and we don't recognize His authority, and we don't learn from His Word and dedicate ourselves to follow Him, then we'll do the same thing. If we don't acknowledge Christ as our Lord and sovereign over us, then we'll start making our own decisions on what's right and what's wrong, and we'll lead ourselves into bad decisions. God loves us and gave His Son to die for us that we might have eternal life. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Our Father has been good. He knows those who trust in Him. He has given us everything we need for life and health and peace and safety. And when we get in trouble is when we go astray from God, when we disobey, we make wrong choices. Elimelech made some bad decisions and it affected his family in the future. But God took the mess that that family made and turned it into a blessing for the nation of Israel and for all of us today because Christ came through that nation. So, men, I urge you. I'm not going to stand up here and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I'm an old man. My kids are all grown. They're the heads of their own houses today. We have 4 children and 13 grandchildren, and I hope to have some influence in their lives. But I'm realistic enough to know that my sons are going to make choices and decisions, and my daughters are going to make choices and decisions. I hope that I've instilled within them the desire to do as Joshua, to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." If you have the opportunity in raising a family still right now, may I plead with you. Get on your face before God. And then gather your family together and say like Joshua of old, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's stand together, please. Happy Father's Day to all of you dads. Lord, we love you and worship you and thank you for all your blessings. We ask you to bless this invitation. Lord, the only way that folks can lead like Joshua did is, first of all, they have to know Christ as their Savior. Sins forgiven, a home in heaven, the assurance that they're saved. And then it'll come day by day through the knowledge of the Word and growth and a walk with God. So bless these men today who have made a decision to serve you and live for you and raise their family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Supply their need, we pray. May this church only serve to help them in fulfilling these things. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.